We're talking about the Ten Commandments, and it was supposed to be a summer series, but it's taking a little bit longer. We're okay. We're fine. Thank you for sharing. So by way of review, let's look at the commandments we've already looked at. We said commandment number one, God wants an exclusive relationship. No other gods before him. Amen. Commandment number two, God wants nothing to replace him. We don't idols or anything of that nature. Number three, we must have the ultimate respect for God. That's taking his name in vain. Number four, we said God wants the priority in your life, and that's remembering the Sabbath day and giving a day to him. Last week, we finished number five. We must have respect for family. Honor thy father and thy mother. We'll finish up a little bit of commandment six, and we'll start on commandment seven tonight. Commandment number six, we must have respect for life. We started that last week. Very simply put, Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not kill. What is the point? In our society, in our times in which we live, life is not very valuable. Life is cheap. Our society has created what I call a death culture. Murderers get off easy, unless you kill a cat. Abortion is rampant. It's amazing. Animals are more important than people now. Okay? By the way, our wonderful state, remember the whole thing with Planned Parenthood and they got caught undercover? Well, our wonderful state has made it against the law for you to videotape a conversation with Planned Parenthood. Now, anybody else is fine, but not Planned Parenthood. We're not that, they must think we're dumb. Video games are very violent. Okay, we talked about movies being graphic, not shooting cowboys, you know, and his hat falls off, all right? We're talking about tearing off people's arms and cutting their legs off and all that nonsense. The euthanasia movement is growing. And by the way, it's in our country now. And by the way, you watch it. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. Then we said, number one, last week, we talked about the fact that life is a gift from God. We have no right to determine because God is the one who created us, and we're made in his image. Now, this is new. Number two, to God, taking a life is a serious issue, very serious issue. The Old Testament, God demanded the death penalty for murder because we are made in his image. By the way, they say that the death penalty is not a deterrent. Yes, it is. That person will never murder anybody again. Yeah. Amen. And it would be a deterrent. Okay, you can do all kinds of nonsense and get off, and there's no deterrence anymore. They're very selective in what they sentences they give out. Genesis 9:6, whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. That's the big deal. We are made in the image of God. We have no right to going around killing people, even if we're trying to paint it as being a very compassionate deal. We won't execute murderers, but we're getting to the point where we will take the lives of those we deem unfit to live. Many years ago, and I think if you remember, the Terri Schiavo case in Florida. By the way, she was not on life support. She was not being kept alive by a machine. She was being fed by a tube, but not being kept alive by a machine. And her husband, who I believe was separated from her, wanted her dead. And the court said, quit feeding her. That wasn't turning off a machine that was keeping her alive. That was starving her to death. And our courts were in lockstep with it. Okay, I'm just telling you, this whole euthanasia, all this nonsense, it's going to come down and you know, it's not good. But that's our society. Our priorities are so warped that people are not important anymore, but everything else is. God says it's a big deal. Number three, and then we'll move on. Jesus and New Testament teaching takes it up a notch by pairing hatred with murder. See, Jesus takes that, what the Old Testament says, and really he ratchets it up a bit. He equates it with murder. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Verse 21, 22. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. I mean, Jesus takes it a notch and says, not only are you not supposed to kill people, you should not have anger or hatred towards them. He puts it in the same category. Very important. Hatred is a disrespect towards another human that was made in the image of God. Look at the verses in 1 John there. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a what? Wow. See, the Bible takes it up a notch. Like we see adultery. God says no lusting in your heart's adultery. Hatred is murder. Hatred leads to all kinds of sin. And he puts it here in the context of Cain, who did kill his brother. Now, we taught many lessons in Proverbs about hatred, okay? And people kind of excuse our hatred. God is saying here that hatred is not, anger that leads to hatred is not a good thing. If we have a problem with anger, we need to work on it. There is three myths of anger that the world sometimes will buy into. I think they're on your paper there. What's the first myth? Venting anger is healthy. It's not healthy at all. In fact, it causes more trouble than it starts, than it helps. Well, you know, I'm angry, so if I just vent my anger, it's going to make me better. No, it isn't. Releasing it through forgiveness is where you get the freedom. Well, I went and yelled, and I kicked the cat, and I punched a hole in the wall. Ain't helping anything. Now you gotta go forgive the cat. Now you gotta go ask for the cat's forgiveness, and then you gotta patch up the hole in the wall. Okay, it's not helpful at all. Venting ain't. You know what it is? Letting it go and forgiving whatever it is that made you angry. There you go. Number two, myth number two: being aggressive gets rid of my anger. If I'm angry and I get aggressive, that's going to make everything better. No, that leads to more anger. Okay. We just buy into all this stuff like that's a healthy way to get rid of it. No, it isn't. You get a kid that has anger issues and they're aggressive, you better get on them about that because they're going to grow up and it's going to be really, really, really bad. And then myth number three, anger doesn't affect my health. Yes, it does. Your heart, your blood pressure, all of it, stress. It's not good when your face turns red and your veins are popping out. That's not healthy. Okay, you know what's healthy? Peace. Not like that, but peace. Calm. So we looked at that. Life's precious. Now, we won't finish tonight, and I'm sure you won't be happy when we're done, but it'll be good. Number seven, God commands moral purity. God commands moral purity. The God of our age is sex and immorality. I don't like to use the S word. Immorality. It's the God of our age. And as it goes deeper and deeper and deeper, it becomes more perverted. That's not why we have gay marriages. That's why we have transgenderism and all the nonsense that's going to come with it. And they're just going to keep pushing the envelope. And it's not going to be good. Exodus 20, verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, in 1861 in England, this is back in the days when printing the Bible was a huge undertaking, and the government would pay printers to print the Bibles. And they had to be very careful because if they made mistakes, they would be fined. And so in 1831, there was a new printing of the Bible, of the King James Bible. And the company that did it was fined 300 pounds by the government. That's the equivalent of a lifetime of earnings for one person. You know what their mistake was? In the Bible, they forgot to put one word in a key verse. That word was the word not, and that word was in this verse right here. So Exodus 20:14 in that Bible said, thou shalt commit adultery. They call that the wicked Bible. Can I just tell you something? If that was in our Bibles today, people would buy into it. It wouldn't bother them at all. And yet a bunch of unsaved government officials thought enough to fine this company all of that money because they didn't like what it stood for. Our whole society is about it. I doubt if there would even be a reaction today. In fact, immoral action is fine. It's deemed to be fine as long as it's between consenting adults. See, that's the, and by the way, be very careful because that age of consent is going to start dropping. You mark my words. You mark my word. I think in Canada it's 14. Mark my words. That the whole lobby of this nonsense, it's just going to go from one thing to another. You say, oh, that's just preacher talk. You remember 5 or 6, 7, 8 years ago when Brother Esposito used to get up and rail on it and say it's the tidal wave, they're not going to stop there. They haven't, and they're not going to, and it's going to be bad. But now our standard is as long as it's consenting adults, it doesn't matter what gender they are or who they are, whether they're even married, as long as they consent. Times have changed. In 1963, actor Richard Burton and actress Elizabeth Taylor began an affair as they were filming the movie Cleopatra. By the way, that's why she had 7, 8 husbands. They were shunned in Hollywood because she was married. And even Hollywood at that time did not look favorably upon that. And they got on him and shunned him because he took another man's wife. Now, once he got her, I'm sure he could have wished he could have took her back, but that's another story. We've changed now. See, here's where we're at now. Last year, the basketball player on the Lakers, D'Angelo Russell, took a video of another player, Nick Young, admitting to having an affair when he was engaged to somebody else. I don't know if the whole story, if it was on accident, it went public. Guess who the villain was? The guy that put the video out. Hey, listen. The villain is Nick Young. But see, our society accepts that kind of stuff as being normal. It's amazing how far we've come. There's a day that wouldn't have been tolerated. And I'll throw this out, and if you don't like it, we'll be done in a minute. Hillary's husband. By the way, do we really want that guy trolling around the White House for 4 years with nothing to do? Immoral. He was immoral in the Oval Office. And he lied about it under oath. He was impeached. How many of you remember that? But they didn't kick him out of office because it's not a big deal. Yeah, Hillary said about him in a magazine while he was president that her husband is like a good dog. He's hard to keep on the porch. Speaking of his immorality, we've come a long way. We don't have many young men like Joseph today. Genesis 39:9, and we talk about it often. It's just a great verse. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's what it is. No, it's consenting adults. They have a right to do what they want in man's eyes, but not in God's eyes. See, God, remember the whole concept of the Ten Commandments is God is the lawgiver. God is the authority. He makes the rules. And you can choose to do what you want, but you are being disobedient to what God says, and you will suffer the consequences that God reinstates there. Here's another story. I just was looking at some of this, and it makes me shake my head. There's a lady named Kathy Gallagher. This was in the LA Times a few years ago. She created a line of greeting cards for those who are in adulterous relationships. So if you're an adulterer and you're hiding it from your spouse, she created a line of greeting cards that you can give to the one you're cheating with to express those emotions. The idea is sick, to be honest with you. They called it the Secret Lover line of cards. She says her cards are emotional because no other card reflects having to share somebody or not being able to be with them on the holidays. So you're feeling sad at Christmas because you have to be with your wife, and she has to be with her husband. What is wrong with us? Do we wonder why our society, do we wonder why our families are in bad shape? It's very easy when you look at the way our society is going to be very negative about the future. But I'll just say this, if we're in Jesus Christ, everything's fine. There have been darker days. Now, not in our country, but in the history of the world, there have been darker days. And to be real honest with you, it seems that in some of the darker days, Christianity thrived just a little bit more. Not watering it down like we have a tendency to do today. So don't despair. I'm just saying, as Christians, we should not fall in line with that stuff. That's the problem. The problem is, as Christians, we don't have enough common sense to look at the Bible and fall in line with what the Bible says. We're listening to society and we're falling in line with what society says because we want to be compassionate and we want to reach people where they're at. That's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Moral activity is everywhere. You look up, if you look in the Old Testament books, the law books, and you see some of God's prohibition against different forms of immorality, you can tell that very on in creation, man had already deviated. I think it was one of the reasons or part of the reasons that God even, the flood even came. It was bad. We live in a immorality craze society. We use it to sell things, from cars to beer to hamburgers. You know, it's some lady that's half dressed. And by the way, and you can eat there. I don't care. But I personally don't like Carl's Jr. Because years ago, they decided to take a line of advertisement that is immoral. Now, I'm not saying if you eat there, it's wrong. I'm just saying me. I just have a hard time with it because they're pretty blatant about it. And somebody wrote them and as a Christian and said, you know, do you need to really do this to sell hamburgers? And they told them. They wrote back. Their corporate said, you're not the people we're trying to sell to anyhow. So I just said, fine. I don't want to eat there anyhow. Sells. It's part of entertainment. And I don't watch those types, but it seems like all the new movies and everything coming out, it's just got to be part of it has nothing to do with the storyline, but they just throw it in. Because they're trying to dictate society, and they're doing a pretty good job. Our school systems, not ours, the government school systems promote protection, not purity. It's like Magic Johnson said, and he said this 22, 23 years ago, when he contracted HIV, and it's been the predominant, prevailing philosophy of our society, particularly in our school system since. He got up and told the kids, you need to be careful, because he was trying to tell them, you know, you don't want to get the disease I got. He says, so what you need to do is don't touch each other before you're married. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? But then he said, right after, he goes, but I know you're not going to listen to that. So use protection. So see, what we do is they're not going to listen, so we don't tell them what there is only one way to keep from getting an STD. I'll use that so I don't have to use the word. There's only one for sure way not to get it. Here it is. Don't be immoral. But you're not going to listen to that. That's like saying, listen, the one way not to get shot in a bank is to not rob it. But I know you're not going to listen to that, so wear a bulletproof vest when you rob it. What kind of defeatist attitude is that? That's where we're at. We now accept all the nonsense. By the way, we have paid a price in our society for our moral impurity, have we not? Fatherless children. By the way, guys, making a baby doesn't make you a father. A father isn't the fact that you have a biological, there's another human being on this earth that has your DNA. What makes you a father is your actions. You don't want to be a father, don't have a baby. Well, I didn't plan on her getting pregnant. Well, you shouldn't have touched her. This is going over real well. It's destroyed our marriages and confused our children. And I know. In a church, people get saved after some things happen and you have to fight through tough situations. But you know what? By the grace of God, you can get through that. But those of us that aren't in that situation, let's not take it there, if at all possible. So let me give you some things. We're going to get through point one, number one tonight, and if the first part wasn't popular, this is really going to be unpopular. Okay, are you? I'm going to hit it from every single angle. So I figure tonight we'll get the tough angle out of here, and the teenagers can be mad at me as I walk out. But you know what? I'll live with it. Number one, set up boundary to protect our teens. You know, a teenager in our society that seeks to be pure is looked at as weird. They're out of touch with reality. No, the other ones are out of touch with reality. The opportunities for developing relationships that can lead to emotional connections and impurity abound everywhere. So what can we do to make sure that doesn't happen? I knew you were going to ask. I have a couple of practical suggestions. Number one, don't throw stuff at me, please. Teens don't need to date. Now, husbands and wives, let me help you with this. After you're married, you should date each other. Okay, it's like, you know, everything's in the wrong order. Keep the teenagers away from each other, and then when they get married, they don't want to be anywhere near each other. Flip that, you know, make it the right way. You don't need to date. I know we get criticized every time we say this, but guess what? Deal with it the best way you can. Teens are nowhere near mature enough or time-wise enough to be married to take that relationship long enough without being tempted to do something wrong. But I believe that in any situation. When I see a young couple, whether they're singles or whatever, and if you're here, maybe you're the exception, it's fine. They can have a relationship for 5, 6, 7, 8 years without getting married. They may be waiting to get married, but they're not waiting for anything else. Or else that guy's got issues. I shouldn't have said that, sorry. I always believe that. And I remember I was reading a book one time. I think it was called No More Christian Nice Guy. And he said the same thing. I'm like, good, I'm not the only freak. We don't need to get married. We can date 4 or 5 years. You ain't waiting for anything else. Okay? So you shouldn't say it in church. Someone should say it. Okay? If you want to play house, at least get married and get in the house. Then you can play house all you want. But what you want to do is play house before you get married. And then when you get married, you don't want to play house at all. You want separate houses. But anyhow, back to the teenagers, okay? Back to our regularly scheduled point. Teenagers, you cannot do a long-term relationship that starts in the teen years that doesn't go too far. Now, girls, no. He assured me he can. He's lying. No. You don't know. He's sincere. He is a liar. Guys, I don't care what you think. Ladies, let me explain something to you. Don't trust anything a guy says. Nothing. When it comes to guy, girl, and I was an unsafe teenager, and the best way, like, let's just be friends. Let's just go out. We'll be friends. Listen, that was the first half hour. It's like, I'm not going out with you because I want to be your friend. Listen, what do you think? We're going to talk about fingernail polish? Now, toenail polish, I'm in. Not fingernail polish. Guys lie. No, we just connect on an emotional level. He either likes other guys or he's lying to you. Yeah. I don't have to tell you. But anyhow, back to dating. You know, it's just that relationship has to progress at a point to where it gets to marriage at the right time. You build towards marriage, yeah. Right? And if you're starting at by the way, first of all, emotionally, you're not, I doubt if many 30-year-olds are emotionally okay to have a marriage, to be honest with you. But I definitely know a 15-year-old isn't. You go from this boyfriend to that boyfriend, say, but we haven't touched or anything. Okay, but you're practicing for divorce. Okay, listen, by the way, even as an unsafe teenager, and I like girls, and I didn't go to a Baptist church, I didn't go to any church, and I went out with girls, and I never, ever would get a girlfriend in high school. You know why? I had friends that got girlfriends and they were tied down. And I'm like, I ain't doing that. Okay? No girl is gonna pull me around in high school. Now, I like girls, I'm gonna be around them and stuff, but you ain't, I'm not, I'll do that later on in life, but not right now. Now, the flip side is, listen, enjoy your teenage years. Be a teenager. Don't ruin it by trying to have a relationship with somebody else and try, that's gonna be 10 years down the line before you're even ready to be married and all the drama that comes with it. Be very careful.
Yes, sir.
Your heart will get broken. I remember the first girl I ever liked, Leslie Apple. She was gorgeous. She went to my school. She lived in the backyard behind my grandparents. But unfortunately for me, she liked older men. She was dating a guy in second grade. We were in first grade. I'm like, I can't compete with older men. And right there I said, I'll wait till I get married before I start having a relationship with a girl. Leslie broke my heart. Don't lose out on being a teenager by doing that. Now, by the way, I hope this comes across correctly. You ought to want to, okay? Okay, if you can't say, wow, that girl's kind of pretty, then you're probably saying, wow, that guy's kind of cute. We don't want that. Moving on. Number B, teens don't need to touch. Fact of the matter, adults don't need to touch either, unless you're married. And you don't need to touch. You get loose in your touch and all this friendliness and all that, and it's the step you don't want to take. Okay, and I know this, if we don't touch hands and holding and all that, we're not going to get to the other part, right? Okay, if you don't take two steps, you're not going to get down the block. Letter C. I'm going to say this down here. Teens don't need cell phones. Now, I know. I know. Pastor used to say it, and I already knew why he said it. But the older I get, the more, listen, a week does not go by. A week doesn't go by that I don't hear something garbage going on because a teen was online or on a cell phone. Hey, parents, snap out of it. Now, look, once we're done with church, shake my hand, I'll drink water, we'll be fine, and you can do whatever you want. But I'm just telling you, snap out of it. Don't listen to your child. If your child is in high school and they want a cell phone and they're giving you a hard time, that's a reason not to give them one. Yeah. Our kids, they don't get it until they're 18. And if I feel when they get 18 they're not mature enough, they won't even get it then. Okay? Well, they're weird. Listen, I'm weird. I'm their father. Deal with it. There's nothing good. No. By the way, I have a cell phone. I know how to use it too. But you know, you're out, everybody, this is everybody's life. And they're not even looking for Pokemons. You know, it's just like, you know, I'm going to invent something, a little thing that comes out and it just sticks right here and you don't have to hold it. And it's everywhere you go. Listen, by the way, and even you singles, when you're starting to court, be very careful. Because of this, you can start talking a lot too soon without really getting to know each other. I'm not saying you shouldn't communicate, don't get me wrong, but I think you understand what I'm saying. You want the relationship to progress at a proper speed. But teenagers, you don't need this. Oh, but what about when they're on activity? I'm going to help you right now. Brother Ross, where are you at, Brother Ross? Will you do me a favor? Every activity, will you have your cell phone? Okay, is TT here? He usually drives a bus, right? And TT will promise, because Edge will make him. He's married now. He'll promise to have his cell phone at every single activity, and you'll let the teenagers call their parents if an emergency, right? If there's a real big emergency, call 911 first, then let them call their parents. Okay, hey, I solved your problem. Well, what about at school? We have it. Look, you know where my office is, and if you really need to, I'll let you use my phone to call home. Okay, charge you $5, but you can use my phone. Quit falling for the mistakes, for the excuses. You say, what are you talking about? If you don't understand it, please, I'm not going to write a book, but I'm just telling you, nothing good happens from it. Oh, my little Poindexter is a sweetheart. Wait a minute, no. My little Poindexter is a good kid. And by the way, he is a good kid, I guarantee it. But if you give him that cell phone, he may not be. It's just a danger they don't need. That's what I'm saying. Okay. By the way, never fall for this line from your teenager. You don't trust me. Here's my word. You're right. I'm glad you figured that out. You're a lot smarter than you look. Okay. D, now you're going to really hate me. But then again, if you don't have a cell phone, this is irrelevant. You don't need social media. Hence, that's what cell phones do. Okay? You don't. I could, if the cell phones are bad, the social media is worse. And I could give you a fresh story this week. Tragic. I'm not going to. By the way, if you're in our school, am I saying Instagram's wrong? I have an Instagram account. Now, I haven't posted anything in 3 weeks. I've hardly looked at it. When I usually do, it's because, you know, my grandkid throws up on Jack, and it's like, that's a good picture. Let's throw that one on there. Amen? That happened on vacation, so I had to put that one on there. It's like, kid doesn't even know how to hold a baby. The mouth goes out that way. You know, that. So maybe I should post, like, you know, Bible verses and stuff. It's mostly for my kids, my grandkids, so pray for me. But but listen, and am I saying Instagram is wrong? No, but I'm just saying I don't think teenagers need it. Okay, just go through your teenage years and be a teenager. Enjoy being in the youth group. Enjoy all the things that being a teenager is. When you're an adult, when you become an adult and you get into college, you'll get your phone and you can do that. And even then, you need to be careful. All right, letter E and we're done. And then no one will shake my hand. That's under 18. Teens don't need freedom. They need guidance and accountability. Okay? And I'll tell you what. If you raise your kid in a good church, particularly, I'm not saying our church is not the only good church, but just so happens you're in our church. You know, and they grow up understanding that, you know what? They'll be okay. My kids don't fight me about not having a cell phone when they're not. It's just, to them, it's not a big, that's what it is. And you know what? When they get into college, their reward is, we'll get you a cell phone, and I'm going to keep my eye on it. But, you know, you're fine. That's okay. They have plenty of things to do. You know, I'm just tired of seeing 10, 11, 12-year-olds and their whole life is, and they're texting their friends back and forth, and they got boyfriends and all that nonsense, and I'm like, what hope do they have? But let's help them. You know what they need? Freedom. They don't need it. They need protection. And the parents protect the children and help them so that they're mature enough and under control enough so when they become adults, they can handle the things of life. People say, oh, you're sheltering them. How are they gonna be prepared for the world? Can I just tell you something? When they're under 18, there's no way they'll ever be prepared for the world. It'll chew them up and spit them out. Why do we have that warped philosophy? And I've heard it, and if you believe it, don't tell me because I will not listen to you. Well, they need to be out in the world when they're younger so they get the world. Really? Look, you look at the Rams quarterback. Now, I think he's an absolute bust. Goff. I don't even pronounce his first name. But they're not going to play him right now because they feel he's not ready. If they put him in too early, what happens is he'll lose his confidence. He's not ready to handle it in their mind. Why do we do that in other areas of life, but we don't do that with our teenagers? I'll throw them out to the world and they're going to learn. Listen, they're not mature enough yet. But once they become adults and they've been trained and they've been funneled the right way and they become adult, they'll know how to stand. They'll know how to do the right thing. They'll be ready for it. You haven't put them in a position where they're going to lose. You look at a boxer, he comes up. Listen, they don't fight him against the top contender his first fight. He'll get killed. They put him against a bunch of guys that only have one arm that works. And they slowly but surely build him up. Why don't we do that with our children? Why don't we do that with our teenagers? Let's get them to that point, and let's pray.